Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Patriots, Preppers, this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and welcome to episode 13-34. I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. We had a wonderful time with loved ones around us. There was so much to be thankful for. There still is so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for all of you, your loyal listenership. Those of you who are concerned about the direction that our country is headed, banding together for encouragement so that you know you are not alone, because you're not alone. You are among like-minded patriots, thousands of others who share the same values, who are redoubting, taking the gap, or getting ready to hunker down where they are. For those of you outside the wire, we are thankful that we still have soldiers out there protecting us while we sleep at night, safely in our beds. Strong men stand in the night, ready to guard us and protect us. Those of you in uniform, thank you so much. God bless you guys. God bless you guys for keeping your oaths and for doing what is very difficult. We all know, those of us who have gone before you, we know what it takes, what type of a sacrifice it is for you and your families to keep us safe. Those of you in law enforcement and those of you in the military, our prayers go out to you. Thank you so much for your patriotism and for what you do. Okay, I want to remind you that you can follow us also on Facebook @ Radio Free Readout. And of course, you can also follow us on Twitter as well. I got a letter from someone, an email. Let me see if I can find it. It's actually just super, super short. This lady asks if we could put her on our, what was it, an email list or a, I'm trying to find it here. Oh, man, now I can't find it. Okay, so anyway, she's just saying, you know, can you put me on your newsletter emailing list? Well, we don't have a newsletter per se. We have a weekly podcast and that's downloadable, of course, on the site at Radio Free Readout, at the Podbean site and Podbean/ Radio Free Readout. You can go and listen to, you know, all those archives on the right-hand side, scroll down to you until you see the Podbean player. You can also go to the highlights and resources posting for each show. And, so instead of a newsletter, we have a weekly, internet radio podcast. And we also upload content throughout the week. And then, of course, regular content, regularly uploaded content is put on the Facebook page. And that's just way easier to get it out to the most amount of people who can, you know, turn around, re-disseminate that through those in their inner circles. And so anyway, there's our answer to that. Yeah, we don't have a newsletter. Sorry, Debbie, but... join us every week for the podcast and follow RadioFreeReadout.com and also follow us on Facebook / Radio Free Readout. And that'll get you all the up-to-date information that we would put in a newsletter if we had one. But there's just not enough time. It's either a newsletter or a podcast. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. You got some really good encouragement. Hey, did you guys... We had a... this week, Thanksgiving week, is always pretty much a kind of a low turnout, you know, before and after Thanksgiving, because people are traveling, they're with family and friends and loved ones and so on. So I just want to hope that you guys all and pray that you guys have a safe trip getting back home, you know, returning to your destinations, to your homes, to wherever you are. But we had a guest last week, and it was kind of neat because it really threw everyone for a loop. It was Thanksgiving, of course, so it was appropriate that we had a chef, an American redoubt chef, specializes in preparedness, long-term storage, food items, how to buy locally within the American redoubt, and support your local economies. And it was kind of funny because I heard from so many people like, man, a chef, really? On Radio Free Redoubt? But everyone was pleasantly surprised. Here's just one of the letters. Or was this a comment? It was a... anyway, wonderful show. I wasn't particularly excited about a Radio Free Redoubt episode talking with a chef. But see what I mean? But I really enjoyed it. Great interview, as always. Chef Keith Snow's story made me smile in agreement. What a good guy. Glad he took the gap and that he ended up, it seems, in my neck of the woods, West Central Montana, this writer writes in. So, that was pretty fun. I heard from just several people that just said, yeah, man, I was thinking, what are you doing, John Jacob, a chef? But the guy has a great testimony. He's a God-fearing, liberty-loving man that's he's an entrepreneur. And he is a prepper. And so it was really a lot of fun. Kind of threw some people for a loop and also gave some people some really good resources getting ready to cook that big meal that actually came in very handy. So that was kind of fun. Let's see here. Now, here's my little, please send me your newsletters, etc. Thank you, Debbie. Okay. Besides the fact that we have a podcast, you can also, what we do is we have the American Redoubt Network. It's a network of patriots. They join up, and what they do, and you can click on the join tab there at radiofreeredoubt.com. Then from the sub or from that page that opens up, click on the link that says about ARN/AMRON. And that will completely explain all about the American Redoubt Network and the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. Answer all of your questions. And that's how you get signed up. Because although we don't do a newsletter, we do sign up or we do send out announcements and training materials. And occasionally we do mail out special announcements and things that... We may or may not put up on the website. So we also try to keep that to a really minimum because I know that I get so many emails that it is so hard now to get through them all and to be able to respond to everybody in the way that I want to. And what gets me is when I mean to email people and I click, you know, save as, or I click, mark as unread so I can come back to it later. But then next thing you know, more and more emails are coming in and these people that I mean to email and address specific questions starts drifting further and further away. And then it's so hard to go back to those. So I try to get right on top of those right away. So I don't get behind the eight ball. I didn't do a whole lot to prep for this show because I had lots of friends, family, lots of things going on that, kind of precluded me from being able to, really do some in-depth topical stuff. But there are some things that I definitely want to address and share with you, and I hope that you'll enjoy them and find them, worthy of your time. And... let's see here. I want to remind you also, raffle tickets. That raffle's coming up in 2 weeks. Did you realize that? December 15th. You can click on Win Gear, the tab, or over on the right-hand side on the website. You can click on that banner there because we will be giving away Katie Armor's full armor kit, including the trauma plates, front, back, sides, and the armor plate carrier, kangaroo magazine pouch, the dump pouch, and the AMP 3 medical kit, the blood stopper kit that will be also thrown in with that raffle. That's coming up. It's $5 a ticket or three for $12. And click on that tab to learn more about how to get involved in that. Okay, before we get to some of the other things I wanted to share with you, let's get into news and commentary. News and commentaries sponsored by 299 Days, the book series by author Glenn Tate that gives you a glimpse into a possible American future before, during, and after an economic collapse. 299 Days, from preparation to collapse to rebirth. Let's start off in the American Redoubt news. Credit card problems. Many of you have heard about this. Fox 519 kind of gave me a little behind-the-scenes brief up on some of the stuff that's going on with this. If you haven't heard about it, Northwest grocery chains are affected by the news article that I have in front of me says Montana stores. But this is not isolated to Montana. This is Idaho, Montana, Washington, and possibly even Oregon. Have not heard anything about Wyoming. But a Washington state-based grocery chain's electronic payment processing system's been hacked. And customers of more than two dozen stores in western Montana, this is what this article says, but it's actually the Idaho, Montana, Washington, and it sounds like it, Oregon as well, are reporting fraudulent charges on their credit cards after shopping at stores that include Rose Hours, Super One Foods, Harvest Foods, and Family Foods. Those of you that are outside the wire in occupied territory, those store chains will not sound familiar to you, but people in the American Redoubt are very familiar with those stores. So double check that. I know there's also reports that over in, let's see, who was that? From North Idaho, they went to Super One and they were accepting cash only because to mitigate the risks of their customers using the credit card payment system, which has been hacked. They were having them use ATMs, but then they were giving everyone 5% off on their purchases. So that helps offset the cost there, since you got to pay, what, $1, $2, $3 at the ATM to get cash. So it seemed like so far they were taking pretty good care of their customers until they can get all this sorted out. Groups ask U.S. Supreme Court to hear Firearms Freedom Act appeal. This is coming out of Helena. You guys know gun advocates asked the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday to overturn a lower court's ruling against state laws designed to buck federal gun rules. Earlier this year, the Ninth U.S. Circus upheld a district judge's decision against the 2009 Montana Firearms Freedom Act. The law attempts to declare that federal firearms regulations don't apply to guns kept in the state where they were manufactured. Other pro-gun states have passed similar measures. The Justice Department's argued successfully that the courts already have decided Congress can use its power to regulate interstate commerce. Some gun control advocates sided with the federal argument, saying that Firearms Freedom Acts would allow felons to obtain guns, love that old argument, right, without background checks, and make it harder to trace guns used in crimes. Well, what are they going to do about baseball bats that are used in crimes, or knives that are used in crimes? We need to start mandating that there's maybe some biometric data or something before you can use a baseball bat or before you can buy one, so we can track them easier in case they're used in a crime, right? Gun advocates have long said only the Supreme Court can decide the case because it will have the limit to reach the reach of Congress to regulate guns. The Supreme Court is expected to decide next year whether to accept the request. The advocates, led by the Montana Shooting Sports Association, have had legal support from the attorneys general from the pro-gun states of Montana, Utah, Alaska, Idaho, Michigan, Nebraska, South Carolina, South Dakota, West Virginia, and Wyoming. There's a few redoubt states mentioned in there. States that have formally passed a version of Firearms Freedom Acts include Alaska, Arizona, Idaho, Kansas, Tennessee, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming. What all this means to you is that of course, the argument for filling out a 4473, having a background check, basically infringing upon your right to be able to walk in and buy a firearm, has been upheld because of Congress apparently having the ability to regulate interstate trade. The argument with these Firearms Freedom Acts, if a gun is manufactured, sold, and used and owned in a state and never crosses the state line, Congress doesn't have the authority because it's not an interstate commerce jurisdiction transaction. So anyway, they're arguing about this because they're basically saying, you know, they have the right to regulate all guns anywhere, and they're using all the emotional arguments as to why they should be able to have this authority, which of course is unconstitutional. But we'll see how that plays out. Oh, let's see here. Senator Rush, let me make sure I say this right. Senator Russ Fulcher says the time is right to unseat Governor Otter for our patriots in Idaho. This is from the Idaho Statesman, which is typically a left-leaning rag that some socialists are operating with shouts of amen. From a raucous crowd, Senator Russ Fulcher began his race against a powerful incumbent by making a populist appeal to Tea Party Republicans. When I first saw this article, you know, I was reluctant to celebrate when I saw that somebody's actually going to put up a good fight to try to get Governor Otter out of there. So I'm thinking, well, who is this guy? Well, he's backed by a lot of Tea Party groups. Speaking Saturday at a Meridian Hotel 2 miles from the dairy farm where he grew up, Fulcher emphasized his fourth-generation roots. So he's a deeply rooted Idahoan. And 2 decades as a marketing executive for Micron and Preco. Okay, so the guy's got a good business head. He's been all over the country. He says the birth of this nation and our system was divinely inspired, where the people are supposed to be the pinnacle of governance. Wow, when's the last time you heard a statesman say that? So anyway, he's going to give Governor Otter a run for his money. He said that he takes heart from the success of Tea Party Republicans, including Idaho Representative Raul Labrador and U.S. Senators Ted Cruz from Texas, Rand Paul, Kentucky, and Marco Rubio, Florida. The crowd of more than 200 in Meridian included Tea Party Boise co-founder Russ Smers, now coordinator of the Leadership Council. And this Leadership Council is a group of 23 affiliates that include 14 Idaho Tea Party groups, the Glenn Beck's 912 Project, Ada County Militia, Oath Keepers, Idaho Open Carry, and the John Birch Society, and of course several others. There is a great lineup of patriot groups. So if these guys are backing Fulcher, Russ Fulcher, this might be somebody we want to watch very closely, because Governor Otter basically rolled over on these states, this Obamacare, this whole thing with Obamacare. So we'll watch that one pretty close. We'll see. And in the meantime, we want to continue to research Fulcher. If he's any kind of a patriot, you know they're going to be trying to just tear him to shreds. So we'll watch this one very closely. Might be one for you guys in Idaho to back. In national news, a senator is facing a recall over Colorado gun votes. You guys heard about this. Well, there's one that sees it coming. The writing on the wall in Colorado, they have a recall vote, and these senators who voted for stricter gun control are getting ousted. Well, before even allowing the citizens of Colorado to pull the trigger on her, Angela Guyron of Pueblo jumped out of her seat and ran. She is resigning her seat from the Colorado State Senate. So anyway, that's really cool stuff. No, wait, hold on. Well, let me see. Oh, yeah. Evie Hudak resigned her seat. So there we go. The one that I read to you, I thought that name sounded familiar, was one that was already ousted. That was from Pueblo. So let's see here. Nothing from the threat journal this week, or the fret journal. And Fox 519 is all tied up with family and stuff and things going on, so he did not get an eye on the economy out to us this week. You are forgiven, my man. Thanks for all your hard work and everything that you do. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Amron nets, and I'm going to talk about the wolf and the sheepdog. Kind of help us refocus here a little bit and put things into perspective. Okay, this is Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Okay, we are back with segment 2, Zwei, Dos. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. You can email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Thank you so much for your letters of encouragement, support, ideas, and suggestions for helping promote the American Redoubt and advance the mission of Radio Free Redoubt and trying to make us better. If any of you have something on your heart, like what Chloe, code name Chloe, has done with the Partisan Diaries, or with Fox 519 contributing with the eye on the economy. There's a lot of different skill sets out there, and people have different callings that are placed on their heart. If you see yourself fitting in with the growing number of American Redoubt partisans that are helping to make the American Redoubt a very real thing that is not just a concept anymore. It's becoming a movement. And if you want to join in that effort, and if you have ideas and things that you think you could contribute to help with that, then let us know. We'll talk about it. Codename Chloe had never done anything before. I can't really get into her background, but she loves doing research. And so I'm going to set up an interview with her to let her tell her side of the story as far as how she ended up starting to produce the Partisan Diaries and kind of the path that's taken her down. Really neat stuff. So it's not something you have to have a background in either. It's just something that you might have a heart for. Myself, I'd never been in broadcast radio or anything like that before, 2.5 years ago when I started Radio Free Redoubt. It was something that was just an interest of mine and something that I just had a heart for and just went for it. So that could be describing you with something that you want to contribute. Okay, segment two is sponsored. This segment is sponsored by AMP3, which, of course, is the Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. And they produce and build and sell medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. You can learn more, of course, over at www.amp-3.net. One of our sponsors that are contributing in a modest way. And so I want to just, you know, say, actually, they've contributed in a big way. They've donated gear for raffles and also, you know, paying for having their spots on the website because they want to help us out. You know, we're in need of a new soundboard. I'm using the little, it's so cute. It's little, like a two. Actually, it's called an 8-channel, but that's really stretching it. It has two microphone inputs, so I suppose I could have one guest, but then I couldn't do a Skype interview at the same time or something. But anyway, it's getting us by, and but this is actually was supposed to be designed for my mobile on-the-road little kit-type setup, so I hung on to it. I didn't sell it because, first of all, A, it makes a good backup because two is one and one is none, so... when our regular full-size soundboard or 12-channel soundboard went down, I had this backup. So now we need to expand that. Well, those guys, between that and the generous, thank you so much, the listeners who have just donated and saying, hey, I want to help you out. I want to keep you on the air. I want to help cover the internet costs. We need equipment. A microphone goes down, soundboard, whatever. Thank you so much for that. But support our sponsors. They are so worthy of it. They are Patriot-owned, God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots that are helping people get prepared. Their hearts are in the right place. I've gotten to know all of our sponsors on a personal level, and just the neatest, down-to-earth people you'd ever want to know or be around. Okay, let's talk about communications here a little bit. I got a letter here that says, John, I listened to your messages and have a question for you. I want to be able to receive any important information when Teotihuacan happens and be able to help my neighbors. I also want to be able to receive and send the electronic communications such as Morse code and PSK31 too. Not number two, also two. Okay. What kind of radio? Oh no, this is where the letter gets really complicated and there's not an easy, one liner, response. What kind of radio will I need that gives me the best signal, range, capabilities, and be able to do the electronic communications? Thanks. Oh, wow. Okay, that's a big one. Thank you for the question, and thank you for the email. And also, thank you for your willing heart to learn a skill set that could save lives. You are joining many other people who want to help others in a Teotihuacan type situation, like your neighbors. Okay. First of all, what I would recommend is get yourself set up so that you can communicate locally with your group. You can use FRS radios. You can use CB radios. You can use those. But since in the last couple of years, the new ham radios, the dual band ham radios that are out, like the Wooksons, the Baofangs, those are almost the same price, and some of them are the same price as what you could spend on a MERS radio or an FRS radio from your local sporting goods store. So I would go ahead and get one of those off the internet, off Amazon, eBay, whatever it is, because you can program in those FRS radios frequencies, plus the ham repeater frequencies. The NOAA, emergency alert, the MERS, you can program all of those in and be able to communicate. It really broadens your capabilities. And so I would recommend that as a local VHF, UHF, you know, dual band radio for local and regional communications, because you can listen to people talking on repeaters, suppose, you know, the ham radio, repeaters. You can also program in your emergency services in there so you can listen to police, fire, EMS, and those. So I would recommend the VHF-UHF dual-band handheld radio. They're portable. As you learn more about this, you'll learn about the different accessories that you can get, different ways to increase your range, and the effectiveness of these radios. Now, if you can't afford one of those, well, they're pretty cheap. It'd be hard not to be able to afford one of those. But the other thing I recommend to people is at least be able to receive, even if you can't talk back, at least be able to receive. One of my first radios that I picked up was a police scanner from a pawn shop. And then I got a second one at a yard sale. So I can program FRS, MERS, police, fire, EMS, the ham frequencies, all of that on this. It goes from, I don't know, like 30 to 800 megahertz. So you can put in the aircraft bands, you can put in the local towing company, the construction company. I mean, all of those fall within that range. So if nothing else, get a scanner, and then you can program all your local frequencies in there and be able to listen to all the activity and stuff that's going on in your community in an emergency situation. What's going to give you the best signal or range or capabilities? It's not really so much the radio, because all the modern radios are pretty much equally capable. Make sure you get a good antenna. It's always about the antenna. Make sure that you have a good antenna. I guess the best way to respond to this is that we are in the process of making up the outlines for some YouTube videos and some instructional audios that we are going to be putting together. That's going to help peel all the layers off this onion. When you get into what gives me the best signal, how do I get the best range, what capabilities? Because on these handheld radios, you're not likely to hear PSK31 or Morse code on these radios on your scanner or your Baofeng handhelds, because most hams don't transmit CW and PSK31 on these little UHF VHF radios. They do, and they can, but usually where you'll hear this is with an HF radio. And that's your high frequency, or also known as shortwave. Get one with a single sideband capability, SSB. Get it as long as antenna as you can get and string it up as high as you can, preferably outside. And that's the radio you use to listen to your digital communications. The ham radio operators are very heavily invested in their equipment and the time and resources and everything else. And they've been doing it for years, working bugs out so that they can use these reliably and consistently as much as they can, depending on propagation. So this is not something that a brand new person that just says, I need to upgrade my communications, and what do I need to run out and buy? It would be unfair to start throwing out name brands and you need to buy this piece of equipment and that piece of equipment, because it is so, there is so much involved in it that it just wouldn't do it any justice. So unless you're going to become a ham and fully licensed and practice with this equipment, which takes time and money, get set up so that you can just at least receive. And that's your shortwave radio with single sideband with a long antenna as long as you can get. Okay, and then we'll walk you through the process of being able to, well, we've done that many times before, receiving PSK31 communications and CW, any of your digital communications, using the FL Digi free downloadable software that will decode those digital communications for you. All that stuff's on the way. We are going to be working on that. And I'm sorry for those of you who've already heard me say that all like 50 times. But we get new listeners coming on all the time that are asking the same questions. That's why we are going to be working on the short answer. We're working on a resource to point you to that'll be able to answer all those questions for you and shed light on all of that. Speaking of Amron Nets, don't forget you can download the CH3 informal script. If you were going to do a local net, It's a downloadable PDF file that's really helpful for helping folks saying, you know, hey, I got FRS radio. I'd like to do a local net as I'm listening to the ham operators on my shortwave radio. When the time comes for the local, you know, CH3 net, I'd like to be a net control operator, start my own little local net. But what do I say and how do I go about doing it? Well, this script will help you with that. And anybody that wants to start up a local informal net on CB, FRS or MERS, or even a local little local 2-meter net, you can certainly do that. But we're working up a script for that as well. The Ameron guys are going to help me walk through that, or walk you through that. Help me, help you, help me. Okay, we'll just move along. You get the point. Now, speaking of ham radio, had a new ham operator, ambitious fellow, wanted to spread the word and talk about Ameron and Radio Free Redoubt and stuff like that with other ham operators on his local repeater, apparently. Got into a conversation with a lady and says, now, so what is this? So an emergency communications Ameron. So are you guys like a militia? He tells her, no, we're not. You know, we were just like at the rally out at Farragut State Park and over in Idaho this summer, teaching people how to use communications. And of course, apparently she says, oh man, that rally was really something. It was like a bunch of, military guys on steroids, but only they didn't have guns, thank goodness. And so this new Ameron operator says he really had to bite his tongue. He's trying to explain to her. Now, remember, some people in the ham radio world, not all of them are preppers, not all of them are conservative patriots. And so you want to be careful about what you say to whom, because remember, concepts like the American Redoubt or just the Tea Party or any type of conservative American patriot type of ideology, it appears to be extreme to people who are living their lives like sheep. Now, not to say that sheep are bad, because we need sheep. But the thing is, the sheep don't realize they need to be guarded. They don't want to be guarded, and they don't like the sheepdog. There's an article. Well, actually, let me get to that in just a minute. So I had an exchange of emails with this Ameron operator, but I had to handle people like that and what to say and how to go about talking about the American Redoubt. Remember, if they aren't there, don't try to discuss it with them. An uninitiated person is going to be overwhelmed by it. It's going to freak them out. And they're just not prepared for it. Okay. So, if their mindset is already there, then you can discuss it with them. You feel somebody out, carefully, slowly, and then you proceed. If they seem on board and they're asking more questions about the direction that our country's headed and so on, then, you know, you can breach into those topics. But just be careful about how you do it. Not everybody's there. You guys remember, you've probably read as a kid or even an adult, Aesop's Fables. Well, there's one called The Wolves and the Sheep. And I'm going to read this to you. It's just one paragraph. Why should there always be this fear and slaughter between us? Said the wolves to the sheep. Those evil disposed dogs have much to answer for. They always bark whenever we approach you and attack us before we have done any harm. If you would only dismiss them from your heels, there might soon be treaties of peace and reconciliation between us. The sheep, poor silly creatures, were easily beguiled and dismissed the dogs, whereupon the wolves destroyed the unguarded flock at their own pleasure. Now, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, he is an author, psychologist, does psychological studies in warfare and to train for warfare. This was mandatory reading with a team that I was on at once upon a time. It started with On Killing, and then he came out with the sequel On Combat, talking about the psychological costs of killing in society. And it dealt with law enforcement, it dealt with military, and then of course also the criminal shooters as well. Active shooter situations and things like that, how we've come to the point in our society where we've can kill so easily, and then also to overcome the psychological barriers of killing when it is righteous. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman wrote this sequel to On Killing called On Combat. And you can go to his website. I highly recommend it. Matter of fact, for warriors, it is mandatory reading. You can go to killology.com and learn more and read about a lot of his articles. I'm going to post a couple of links there to, especially On Combat. Well, he writes, and I'm paraphrasing this because I was writing this letter to this AMRON operator who was saying, you know, how do I explain to this person? They just don't get it. They, you know, they think that the militia types or the Tea Party types or the extremists, and thank God they didn't have guns, which actually she obviously didn't show up to this this rally, because there was guns that would have made the Matrix just look pretty shabby. And there was a lot of guns there. Men, women, young and old. It was great. In the analogous story of the sheep, the wolf, and the sheepdog, this woman he was talking to is the sheep. Most people are sheep. Now, we are sheepdogs. They don't understand that. They just know that they don't like it because sheepdogs look a lot like the wolf. Sheepdogs have sharp teeth. They are alert to danger. They are ready to confront the wolf. This makes the sheep uneasy because they don't want there to be danger in the world. They wish there weren't sheepdogs because it reminds them that there are wolves. Besides, there's really not a need for the sheepdog. I mean, I'm a nice sheep and I mind my own business. I do nothing to provoke the wolf. So why should I expect to have a need for the sheepdog? Yes, the sheepdog should go away. He makes me feel uncomfortable. It's a thankless job being a patriot. The founding fathers felt it, and now so are we.
If you serve your country either in law enforcement or in the military and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Books 1 through 6 are out already and book 7 is due to be released in December. This economic collapse scenario is written through the eyes of a political insider with first-hand exposure to the top-heavy, inefficient, immensely expensive, and oftentimes corrupt institutions of government in today's America. He estimates that, at a minimum, a partial collapse of government services, the economy, our social structure, and life as we know it in America is coming in the not-too-distant future. This awakening in Glenn's life, just like thousands of other Americans across the country, hurled him into an unfamiliar world, prepping. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is segment 3 at Radio Free Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt. You just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt if you're joining us late. If you're not joining us late, thanks for sticking with us through the show. This is segment 3 in episode 13-34. And this segment is sponsored by Katie Armour. And Katie Armour, C-A-T-I, Armour, maker of AR-500 body armor components. They sell the plate carriers. They build the plates for the side plates, front, back, trauma plates. And these are bulletproof vests. Read more about it at katiearmor.3dcartstores.com or click on the link on the right side. Great group of people. Really good. Okay, let's see here. I want to cover, really neat. Okay, I want to wrap the show up here by just talking about a couple things. Hold on, let me find my place here. Here's a really cool, encouraging letter to Codename Chloe. This person writes, well done. Now, we're talking about the Partisan Diaries. The Partisan Diaries, Codename Chloe, put out a special one called A Holiday Interlude about a family celebrating Thanksgiving during World War II with loved ones who were in the service. And I'm going to play that again tonight after the show. But it says, I love your reminders of the strength and greatness our people once exhibited. It seems like folks back then knew what was at stake. For those of us who can only listen via podcasts, I hope the Partisan Diaries continue to be included in the RFR podcast. I've only heard 2 so far and would love to have the collection of them on CD or MP3. Thanks again for your hard work. It really shines. God bless. From a big fan of the RFR, Ladies of Liberty. What a great compliment. And when I spoke with Chloe about developing the Partisan Diaries, this is a project that she wanted to have separate, I mean, exclusive to Radio Free Redoubt. But one of the things that she had considered was putting these on CD. In fact, there are a very limited number of CDs with the Partisan Diaries on them. It's the all 6 diaries from the, part one, basically, is the women of World War II. First-hand accounts and diaries kept that are recreated from a first-person perspective as if written in a diary of people who fought tyranny and oppression during World War II. And many of them lost their lives. There's a lot to be learned from these, and a lot of inspiration comes from these. But we are keeping those separate from the downloadable podcast for a reason, and that is because she wanted to contribute these as MP3s that are downloadable maybe for 99 cents to help support Radio Free Redoubt. So I'm going to discuss that with her more fully, but that's kind of what's going on with that, and that's why you don't normally see the Partisan Diaries included in the downloadable podcast that's played live on Sunday evenings, right after the John Jacob Schmidt Show. So that's the story behind that. Okay, now, each week I'd mention that I want to cover a portion of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. And this was kind of spurned on from a an Oath Keeper meeting that I went to a few weeks ago. And we all got hit with a pop quiz. Who can name the first 10 amendments of the Constitution? And of course, everybody's hemming and hawing and trying to, scratching their head and everything. And then, well, who can name all the components of the First Amendment? Anyway, that's when I decided, you know what? This is good for all of us to review. So the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. Now, there are more. Obviously, there are 17 more amendments to the Constitution beyond the Bill of Rights. But I wanted to cover the first 10, the Bill of Rights. Now, this is kind of interesting, too, because Alex Barron over at the Bard of the American Readout at the Charles Carroll Society also has a weekly podcast. And in the last episode, he had mentioned this and he, said, hey, John Jacob Schmidt's covering the first 10 amendments to the Constitution to discuss this. So as patriots, we can be informed. So what he's doing is he's taking the 11th through the 20th. Oh boy, shame on me. The next 17 amendments, and he's breaking those down and discussing those.
So what I'm going to go is, since John Jacob Smith specifically said he's going to go over to the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10, we're going to go over the other 17. That's what we're going to do. And so people, when they say, we believe in the Constitution, we are just constitutionalists, we should do it, there's not 10 amendments. There's 27 amendments. And you must love all of the amendments, just as much as you love the precious Second Amendment, my right to keep and bear arms. Well, do you love the amendment that codifies the Tyler precedent and defines the process of presidential succession just as much? Well, I don't know about that. Well, you should. You should, and you should care that much about that amendment as much as you care about the second, because this thing has just as much impact.
So really cool. So I'm going to put a link over there so you can listen to those additional 17 amendments that he's discussing on his podcast. So you'll be able to get all of those amendments. Now, one thing he did challenge me on in the very first one, I mentioned, the purpose for the Establishment Clause was to keep the government from establishing one specific religious my brain just melted down completely, imploded. denomination, that's the word. Okay, so we could worship Christ, freely without having to give up our tax dollars to the government so they could fund a denomination that we don't even belong to. So the government couldn't establish one specific denomination. Well, he disagreed. He says that's not true. This specifically says Congress shall not make any laws, establishing religion. He said it didn't say government couldn't. It just said specifically Congress couldn't. Well, in the minds of the founders, of course, it would only say the Congress, because Congress would be the only body that would be capable of establishing. You couldn't do that from an executive standpoint, and the judges can't do that. It would be Congress that would be passing a law establishing a religion or a denomination. So at least from what I understand in my research, this is what they were trying to avoid. Now, there's debate over this, exactly what their intent was, because there's conflicting letters, and some of their writings are kind of vague, and we just take it for granted, or they took it for granted. They knew what they meant, so they didn't specify several things because they didn't conceive of some of the arguments that would come down the line that would distort what they knew as common knowledge, what they commonly accepted. I personally believe, and here's the thing, I love Alex Barron. That's the Catholic, God-fearing, liberty-loving Catholic version of the, I'd say, Radio Free Readout. And it is to encourage God-fearing Catholics who are concerned about their country, that want to relocate and be around like-minded people, to move to the American Readout. And I've spoken with Alex, and he is a great man, great patriot, and brilliant, too. But so we're not going to agree on everything. This is my interpretation, what I perceive of. And, you know, he said there was actually several states there that, you know, had established religions or established churches where they. And so my understanding is this. And of course, I went to heritage.org, and there's several different consensus where people believe, you know, this is what they believe the founding fathers were trying to accomplish. Consensus number two over at heritage.org, and I'll post a link to this, is most closely aligned to what my understanding is of the First Amendment and the separation clause, and or the establishment clause, rather, about establishing a religion. So let me just read this to you. In 1775, at least 9 of the 13 colonies had established churches. Although establishments took a variety of forms, they generally entailed the state providing favorable treatment for one denomination, treatment which often included financial support. Members of religious denominations other than the official established church were usually tolerated, but they were occasionally taxed to support the state church, and some were not permitted to hold civic office. This is my understanding of what they were trying to avoid with the establishment clause. After independence, once America became America, it wasn't colonies anymore, most states either disestablished their churches, and especially states where the Church of England was previously established, or they would move to a system of plural or multiple establishments. So the state would have several established churches that are, you know, supported by tax dollars. Now, under the latter model, citizens were taxed to support their own churches, although a few founders challenged establishments of any sort in the name of religious liberty. Most arguments were framed in terms of which arrangement would be best for Christianity. Key in on that part right there. Most of their arguments were framed in terms of which arrangement would be best for Christianity. What they were trying to do was find out what's the best way for Christianity. Not for the state, not for the... They were trying to preserve Christianity within our culture and within our new government and our new nation. And so that was the highest priority for them. What would be best for Christianity? And so that's where these different differences on how to go about doing that came from. That's my understanding of it. Okay, so anyway, he disagrees with me on this. I believe that their arguments are that they did not want the government to necessarily establish one particular denomination, but that's all debatable. And what great, one thing I liked about it is it made me start actually doing more research on this. And so this is good for us patriots to be able to challenge each other on things, so we fully understand why we have the perspectives that we do. Why do we say, I think this is what the government should be for, or what it shouldn't be for. I believe these are the limitations. These are the authorities that we should be giving our government. and especially when we're looking at historical context or trying to make an argument for historical based founding father quote type of arguments, it makes us know our stuff a little bit better. So anyway, it was just something that was kind of neat that I wanted to share with you. Okay, now, we talked about the First and the Second Amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which is what we're going to cover. The Third Amendment, Amendment 3, to the United States Constitution places restrictions on the quartering of soldiers in private homes without the homeowner's consent, forbidding the practice in peacetime. The amendment is a response to quartering acts passed by the British Parliament during the American Revolutionary War, which had allowed the British Army to lodge soldiers in private residences. Okay, so that was basically the Third Amendment was housing soldiers, okay, quartering soldiers, which isn't something that's really something that we're dealing with today. Who knows what the future will hold, if that'll be challenged, but we're going to move right into the Fourth Amendment. This is a big one, because this is probably one of the most litigious amendments in the, I believe, there's probably more cases and litigation that comes from challenges or explanations of the Fourth Amendment than any other part of the Constitution that I can think of. Okay, now, what this is consisted of basically two different parts. The Fourth Amendment covers two different, there's two components to it. The first one is searches and seizures, and the second component is the warrant clause. Okay, so they have to be able to search your property and seize it, or seize your property. They cannot do that. Well, let me read the amendment to you first. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And this is the second part. No warrants shall issue. A warrant is a fancy word for justification. Okay. So they have to have a warrant. They have to have justification, legal justification. Okay. So no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Okay, in layman's terms, the warrant clause means they cannot search your papers, effects, in today's vernacular, your laptop, your computers, your thumb drives, but they cannot search your person, papers, effects, your property. They cannot seize it without a warrant or justification that's issued by a judge under oath by the officers that what they believe is something that probable cause that you are committing a crime or this property is being used in the commission of a crime, so on and so forth. Without this, this is the problem that we have today. And this is where we see violations today, where they have these random checkpoints on our highway, stopping citizens. They do not have the constitutional right to do this, but they're doing it anyway. What happens if you don't stop at one of their checkpoints? Well, you're going to have your tires slashed. They could shoot you. It turns into a pursuit, and then there you have a felony because you're eluding. It doesn't matter if they can't do it. They are doing it in some places, in some cases. Now, how we're winning in these battles is when citizens go to court and they're challenging the officer's search or the authority, the SWAT teams, you know, kicking the door in, looking for something. What's on the warrant has to what they search for or the areas they search and what they seize must be contained in the warrant based on probable cause. Probable cause, that's kind of an obscure term, unfortunately, but basically that means they have to have probable cause to believe that you are committing a crime or have committed a crime, and then the things to be seized must be materially related to that crime. Let's say they have a warrant because they think you've stolen a television. And they come into your house and they seize the television because they have probable cause to believe you've done that. And then there is a shotgun laying there in the corner. And they take the shotgun too because you could have stolen it too. And so they seize that. Well, that that's not on the warrant. It's not listed in the warrant. They have no right to take it. Okay. A few weeks ago, if you remember, there was this reporter whose husband was named on a warrant that he possibly had explosives and dangerous devices. Basically, he had a potato gun. So they come in on a warrant to seize these things. And while they're there, they take his wife's notes, names, lists of all this stuff. Now, she's a reporter doing an expose on the problems within the Department of Homeland Security. When they come to see specifically, they had these potato guns and other dangerous devices listed on the warrant. They didn't have the legal right to take her thumb drive, laptop, notebook, whatever it was. It had the names of all of her contacts for the story that she's writing. So that was an illegal, unconstitutional, blatantly illegal search. Now, she'll challenge it. And she also has this news agency fighting for her on her behalf. And she will win. And guess what? This is where I believe teeth need to be written into the law, where if you violate the Constitution and you are an officer who knowingly, willingly, maliciously violates the Constitution, there is a loss of position, fines, imprisonment, and even death by hanging. Because they weren't after her husband's potato gun or dangerous devices. That's what they used, I believe, to get into the house, to gain access to the house, stick a warrant in their face and say, see, we have the right to be here. You sit down and shut up. No fast moves or you're going to get it. So they have to sit there and be compliant while they go through and they take stuff that had nothing to do with the warrant, wasn't listed on the warrant, wasn't tied to the justification for them being there in their property, searching it and seizing it in the first place. She's exercising her First Amendment rights, the freedom of the press. Why do we have freedom of the press? To hold our government accountable, to help minimize corruption, to be able to be transparent in our government, to show the people, to inform the people. So she's doing an expose on a government component, the Department of Homeland Security, that is very clearly overstepping its bounds and preparing for war against its own people. She's doing an expose on this organization. They come in on a warrant for something unrelated. They take her names. They take her contacts. They take her, I don't know physically what was taken. It was thumb drives, laptops, or whatever. The bottom line is, even though she wins, the damage is done. Because now these people knowingly have placed lives and careers in grave jeopardy, grave harm, because of the contacts that are willing to come forward to this woman and expose the many, many, many problems within just that department, Department of Homeland Security. This was an abuse of power. This was oppressive. This is pure tyranny. And it is illegal. It is a violation of the supreme law of the land. Specifically, the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. This is criminal. And the people behind it, the officers, should go to prison. The ones who carried it out. And the ones who ordered it should be hanged. But this regime doesn't stop. They don't respect the Constitution. They don't respect the Bill of Rights. She has the right to be secure in her person, house, papers, and effects. I mean thumb drives. Against unreasonable searches and seizures. And it shall not be violated. But when they come into her home looking for something else, auspiciously looking for dangerous devices that her husband supposedly had, that's not what they were after. Clearly abuse of power. And she'll win. She'll win, but it won't matter. She'll win, and the reason why it won't matter is because the damage is already done, because they got what they came there for. They got the names of the people that are giving her information about the Department of Homeland Security and the problems within it. What do you think is going to happen to these people? They're going to end up dead, missing, or their careers destroyed. Bad things are going to happen to these people because of this. Heads should roll. Will they? No. Not yet. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, you need to know what your rights are. The Fourth Amendment. Let me read it to you one more time. It is the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. It shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. If it's not listed on that warrant, they can't touch it. You can read more about that and essays from constitutional experts over at heritage.org. I'll post a link on today's highlights and resources posting so you can go and learn more. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap this all up so I can get back to what I'm doing. And, well, this is what I'm doing. But, I mean, to get back to other things, because I'm going to spend time with my family. That's just what I'm going to do. But after I get this show uploaded to the Podbean player, so all you guys out there in podcast world can download it to iTunes or to your device so you can listen to it on the go. And don't forget to share Radio Free Readout with your like-minded friends and family. Stick around for Codename Chloe's Partisan Diaries, a very special edition that she put together. This will be not included in today's podcast because it was included in last week's podcast. You can go back to episode 13-33 to listen to the holiday interlude at the end of the show from last week's show. So I will be re-airing this tonight after this show. Don't forget to email us at johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. And if you're listening on the go right now, don't forget to come and check us out at www.radiofreereadout.com. This is the voice of the American Readout. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Have a blessed week. Good night.